Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, we do a spirited round of Mr. Brightside, as well as a harrowing story of Mike August driving me around in a very fast sports car, stick shift. And one of the best mashups ever, so says me, about Dawson.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. A new year of Adam's Monthly Nut hath begun. We kick off 2021 with a bang, with products like a bottle of Promescent Delay Spray to keep you going all year long, a collapsible water bowl to cure feminine canine hydration syndrome anywhere it strikes, a Secret Santa gift, because let's be honest, we got Corolla gifts galore at the warehouse, and a digital download of the first three glorious years of the Ace Awards. The year of the devil is behind us. Get ready for an all-new year of Adam's Monthly Nut. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Maz Gibrani. With Gina Grad on news, Walt Bryan on sound effects, and we'll cheer you up with a round of Mr. Brightside. And now, the GOAT. Not because he's the greatest of all time, just because he was raised like a billy goat. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice. You've got on your mandate. You get it on now. Thanks for tuning in and thanks for sharing, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Oh, hey, these Jews aren't bad.
I was hoping someone would grab that.
I was thinking of GOAT reminded me many years ago my mom did cook weeds. She did, was all part, you know, the guy we have to blame for all this is Yul Givens. I think it was Gibbons or Givens. I can't recall. Yul Givens.
I know Yul Brynner.
Now this is another Yul. I wish lung cancer would have claimed Yul Givens before his time, before he had time. Yeah, G-I-B-B-O-N-S, Yul Givens. Yul Givens was some sort of outdoorsman guy, and he was an old-timer. At least when I was, 11, he was an old-timer. And he used to do commercials for grape nuts. And he promoted eating wild foods in the 60s. And so it was like he'd do this grape nuts commercial where he'd be like walking through a pine forest and he'd be holding a pine cone and he'd go, many parts of the pine cone are edible. And it's like, I'm sure many parts of the fucking human body are edible. Mm-hmm. Many parts of squirrels are edible. Many parts of alley cats are edible. But if
the aforementioned goat will find anything edible.
We have a fucking Gelson's on the corner, Yule.
Yeah.
Could we just convince my mom to go over there and buy some shit for me versus pine cones? So there was this whole movement in the 60s that spilled into the 70s, which is like, hey, man, you don't need to go to the market. Look no further than your backyard in North Hollywood.
He's a forager.
Yeah. Again, if your seaplane goes down in the wilds of Alaska, then by all means, eat a fucking pine cone.
Survivalist.
If it's 1975 and you're in North Hollywood, well, then feel free to go to the fucking Lucky's or the Ralph's and stock up on a chub pack of ground beef,
Well, and by the way, does he think grape nuts fall from trees? Or is that made in a factory?
I was going to say, there's a lot of machinery that goes into that.
It's all just one big carb bowl that's in, manufactured in Battle Creek, Michigan. But they wanted to get away from that narrative. So so they got Yul Givens, and Yul Givens would walk around going, many parts of the pine cone are, And We got some facts on him.
Yeah, so he wrote several books about, and he would discuss what he called, quote, wild parties.
He had, his number one bestseller was Go Ahead and Eat This Book. You know, many of my tomes. Yes, many.
Eat it after reading.
Hard covers are edible. Yes, they're edible. They're edible. Yes, your goat or cockroach or larvae. Yes, they're edible. Yes.
Yeah, so these wild parties were dinner parties where the guests were served dishes prepared from plants gathered in the wild. His favorite recommendations included lamb's quarters, rose hips, young dandelion shoots.
Oh, dandelion shoots. I think so. My mom got the idea.
Stinging nettle and cat tails. And he often pointed out that gardeners threw away the more tasty and healthy crop when they pulled such weeds.
Yeah, they always try to do that. You know, the best part of the orange is the peel, and that's the part you think, okay.
That's rich in nutrients.
Yule, how about a little less time eating pine cones, a little more time eating Mrs. Gibbons' pussy? And maybe we could avoid this. But
by the way, I wanted to know what lamb's quarters were.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
I googled it. It also comes up white goose foot. It's just a leaf. It looks like poison ivy.
My guess is that this all tastes more or less the same, and you just smother it with garlic and oil, and dinner guests are like, oh, Yule, this is a great find. It's like, yeah, you love garlic and oil.
Butter. It's essentially the vegan version of putting bacon on everything that tastes like shit. Oh, do we have Yule and his grape nuts commercial? Sorry, this is all just done off of Mike's goat at the beginning thing. So we always catch Yule. I like any commercial where they catch the guy sort of mid-activity, like the guy's he's foraging for pine cones. Oh, hey, we got a camera crew here, and someone snuck a lav mic onto me while I was asleep. Hey there. All right. Sorry. We'll have Yule talking about eating pine cones, hopefully. Ugh, I hope he's dead.
He died the next year.
Many consider me an expert on natural foods like cattail.
Yeah, not your kids.
They're edible. I look for natural ingredients in my food. That's why grape nuts is part of my breakfast. This is a wholesome cereal made from wheat and barley. These natural ingredients are baked into crunchy nuggets and fortified with 8 essential vitamins.
Yeah.
Its naturally sweet taste reminds me of wild hickory nuts.
Yeah.
I call grape nuts my back-to-nature cereal.
I hope he was fucking killed by Bobcat later that day. Did he die?
You know what?
Did he die soon after that?
Yeah, he died of a ruptured aortic aneurysm.
Oh, God. Yeah,
what was he, like 67 or something?
64.
64.
Could he use more lamb's quarter? Or the
wild goose foot. But, you know, a lot of times we say, oh, that commercial didn't age well. They could use that today and sell and 10X their sales.
Yeah, so he died at 64, and Larry King died at 87, living off of nothing but deli meats.
Yep.
And soups from Art's Deli. So give me a fucking break, Yule. The two guys in my childhood, like the two health guys, there was Yule Gibbons, didn't see his 65th birthday. And then there was Jim Fix. The guy's like, you know, you can run to work even if it's 20 miles away. That guy wrote all these books on running. He keeled over and died at 50. So according to the data that I've collected, running and eating naturally lead to an early demise.
So do neither.
Do neither. Yes.
Would you like to know the ingredients of grape nuts?
It's all natural. It's going to be comical, right?
Whole grain wheat flour.
Flour.
Malted barley flour. Sweetened flour. Mm-hmm. Salt. Dried yeast. And they add vitamins. They're neither grape nor nuts. They add B6 and B3.
You can
I guess that's good.
If you want to know how life works, here's how life works. My mom would never buy Captain Crunch or Sugar Smacks or Frosted Flakes or Mini Wheats. She wouldn't buy any of that stuff. She would buy grape nuts. And then we would pour the grape nuts, and then we'd put a half a sack of sugar on top of the grape nuts, thus giving it a higher caloric intake than the Sugar Smacks would have, and probably more sugar, because you're pretty heavy-handed when you're dumping sugar on when you're 9.
I did the same thing. Everything, like, you know, Rice Krispies, Cheerios, the non-sweet cereals.
Right.
And do you guys remember the campaign to microwave your grape nuts?
Oh, they wanted you to turn it into mush.
Yeah, 2 products out of 1 cereal.
Yeah, you didn't have to microwave it. You just pour in 4 ounces of milk and stand back 20 seconds and it would immediately turn into mush. But yes, that's life in the big city. So Yule's gone. He shall be missed. And I think my mom thought, well, maybe we can go down in the backyard and pick out some weeds, and I could boil those up. So that didn't go over great. But, you know, when you're nine, you're a little more into fish and chips than you are into weeds. But, okay, it was a decision, and I'm sure
we're all happy. Did she really do that? Did she really?
She cooked weeds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mom loved weed.
She loved the weed. Yeah, Dawson?
My Nana cooked weeds.
Really?
Mustard greens.
Mustard greens.
I think that's what she called them.
But they essentially
grew amongst weeds in an empty lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think rosemary's technically a weed. Like, you know, some of those spices are weeds, technically.
Did you slather enough butter and garlic onto it to make it edible?
Touch them. I wouldn't touch them.
No. All right. You just, when you're 10, you just went out of the backyard and smoked a few butts and said, I'll come back in when the pork chops arrive.
They tasted just like weeds. I did. I tried them. I took them.
Yeah. If anyone wanted to know what weeds taste like, they taste like weeds. Yeah. That's about it. All right. Let's see. We're, as we tape this, it's the 1 year anniversary of Kobe's death, by the way.
It's the 10 year anniversary.
Yeah, it's so, did I say 10 or 1?
No, I'm saying it feels like a distant memory is what I'm saying.
I know, it's crazy, because the year was all crazy and our calendar got all screwed up. But he was on the show a little bit before his demise in a couple of years in 2018. And so Chris was smart enough to pull a 3-minute clip of me interviewing the late, great Kobe Bryant. And I just thought, well, now would be a good time to play.
Yeah.
You know, when I was about 10 years old, 10, 11 years old, and I played in this league in Philadelphia called the Sunny Hill League, which is a very popular league. A lot of the great players came through there, Earl Monroe and so forth, Will Chamberlain. And so I played in this league, and for the entire summer, I scored 0 points.
Wow.
I mean, not a free throw, not a, like, a luck shot, layup, man. I mean, nothing. 0 points all summer long. And I remember just feeling dejected. And my father had played in that league. My uncle played in that league. And they grew up through that league to become MVPs and some of the greatest players Philadelphia has ever seen in that league. And now here I come along scoring 0 points. And it was absolutely heartbreaking. I felt like I was an embarrassment to my family. And, you know, it was one of those moments, man, where it was like, okay, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And I decided to dig deep, and I decided to play harder and work harder and get better and better and better. And by the time I was 13, I was the best player in the state.
But it was a very easy-to-quit moment.
Exactly. It's one of those moments where you have to look internally and say, okay, what do I want to do? And it was one of those decisions where it's like, even at an early age, you start saying, okay, I don't want to have to look back years from now and regret this moment. Right, because you'll always have that part of you that's like, okay, could I have done this? Right, could I push through it?
And right,
I want to have that question. I'm sure you were the same way. It was like, hold on, no, you're not going to be the one that's going to set my expectations. I'm going to set my own, and I'm going to go through them.
How was the first year for you on the Lakers?
It was tough. It was really, really tough because I wasn't playing much, and I was looking around at all my peers who were out there playing and, you know, having great success. And but what it did do is it made me better. It made me stronger. It made me work even harder to say, okay, no, because I'm young, I really have to prove myself and have to be 2 times better than the person playing in front of me. Right? It just drove me and drove me and drove me and drove me. But it was tough, man.
So I don't know if you consciously thought about it, but what I'm trying to explain to everybody is, you already went through this process 5 or 6 years earlier. You were in a league that your dad and your uncle dominated in, and you didn't score any points for the entire season. Right. So, and then you went on to be MVP. So you went through a miniature version, a smaller scale version, although probably every bit as big when you're 11 or 12 years old, as you're now doing when you're sitting on the bench in the Forum. So were you on the bench sort of thinking consciously about what happened in the last time you went from the outhouse to the penthouse, or was it just ingrained in you?
Yeah, a little bit of both. You know, I was conscious about it. It was only 6 years before, you know, so I was very conscious about it, very aware of it. And I drew confidence from that. Because I said, okay, I did it once. I'm going to do it again. I'm just going to outwork everybody, and I'm going to get there. And it's also ingrained in me because I had gone through it, and now it was a part of my DNA, right? It was a part of my my mental makeup. Yeah, it was something I certainly used and relied on during those times, and still to this day.
Well, there you go. It's so nice that we can capture things digitally now, right?
Yeah. And accessible, like you're right, digitally. Can we call it up, you know, at a moment's notice, more or less?
Yeah, because it's sort of like, yeah, I don't want to sound macabre here, but like, are you ever really gone these days when at a moment's notice we can hear your thoughts and your voices and your philosophies? You know, in the old days we had to read text and of these greats, you know, right, writing stuff down and find this stuff in the library. It's just there now. It's like their voice.
I agree. Contrasting Kobe, who, and not to ignore, you know, the kids who died and the friends and everything, but, you know, Kobe, who had so much left to give to the world. What did he die at? 40? Something like that. Versus Larry King, who we have a life. Larry King may never be gone from our lives. We have a lifetime of Larry King content. You could listen to it back to back to back, all his interviews that he did, all his interviews that he was interviewed for. You might never get through it all through the rest of your life. You know what I mean? It's just it's a lifetime of content.
Shifting gears, pun intended, I was I did attend a dinner party in Beverly Hills last night. And Mike August and I were attending this small gathering. And private chef, the whole nine yards. Ooh. Very nice. Obviously, much more dangerous than eating outdoors in a restaurant because we're indoors with a private chef. But, you know, we didn't care. I'm just saying from a standpoint, people aren't going to not get together. They're just going to hire a private chef and bring them over to the house if they can afford it. So
speakeasy.
That was just did the rapid test. Was there anything similar last night?
Zero. Things similar to the rapid test, and unless they had one of those dogs that sniffs it out.
Were good.
Yeah, but this dog seemed pretty pedestrian and was chewing on like a Star Wars figurine the whole time. So I don't think this was an actual trained COVID sniffing dog. So we went in there and enjoyed. But here's the comedy. The food was amazing. Oh my God, it was an awesome night. But I am driving the Z car, the 6-speed miniature Z car, because I have not got my SUV yet. And
oh, no.
I told Mike,
make somebody valet that.
I told Mike, why don't you come pick me up on your way over? We'll go to Beverly Hills. You can be my designated driver. I'll have a couple pops at the party and there'll be no problemo, and take the SUV. And he's like, okay. So he showed up. Said, I'm pulling up the driveway. I said, okay, great. I'll meet you outside. And as I was walking out, I see this shadow lurking by the door. It's got a glass pane in it. And I said, what's Mike doing out of his car? And then Mike walks in. Mike, you know how he likes wearing other people's tennis shoes? Because he doesn't like putting mileage on his own? Well, right. Imagine what he feels about putting mileage on his own vehicle.
Oh,
you know?
That shit adds up.
Right. So he comes walking in and he goes, oh, you're not driving? Or I'm not driving your car? And I said, well, no, you got the SUV. I don't got the SUV. I just got the miniature little sports car. And he goes, oh, I'll give it a shot.
I said, just what you want.
That's famous last words.
I said,
honestly, he's the kind of dude who could drive a stick, though. Am I wrong about that?
Well, many people can drive. He goes, I'll remember how to drive a stick.
It's been
and
a
I
while.
Said, when's the last time you drove a stick? Oh, it's been 20 years, maybe more. But I can handle it.
Same.
Said, it's like riding a bike, right? I said, I don't know. We're going to find out. And, you know, Mike, he likes to shift in and a shaft in, right? Because when he drives an automatic, he's shifting bejesus out of that automatic for no good reason.
Unnecessarily.
Imagine how much shifting goes on in a car that actually requires shifting.
Shifting.
So he gets in the car and he's trying to figure out how to move the seat around, and I pile into the car. There is a humbling experience, which is when you ride shotgun in your own car and you have to clean out all the shit you've thrown on the passenger seat over the last 2 weeks because you weren't expecting it. So yeah. I had to clean the car out, and then I jumped in, and then Mike wanted to know where reverse was initially because he had no idea.
Good sign.
And
good
bad sign.
I was grabbing the stick shift. And then he just went balls out on this Z car. So I get stuck to the ground. He's swerving and short shifting and tacking the thing up. And Mike also drives like there's no law enforcement community whatsoever. Like, and now he's really in a car that's pulling hard. So he's grinding the gears. It was kind of, I told Max Pat to pull that pretty woman. Because we did end up on
rails.
We ended up on Sunset. And he's like, Sunset. It's a ghost town. It's empty. She starts tacking it up. And I'm like, there's still cops, Mike. There's still cops.
People
like,
out there.
Dropping it into third gear and chirping it and zigzagging.
We call this your standard H.
All over the fucking place. And it was just, I was thrilled. He was so thrilled. He had not been in a stick shift car for 20 years plus. I don't think he's driven anything but an SUV for 20 years. And I just told Max Pata to pull that Richard Gere driving Jason Alexander's That's Lotus right. Esprit, I believe it is. Here we go.
Work it, baby, work it.
That's what the whores look like on Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, they all look like 23-year-old Julia Roberts.
First is here somewhere.
Hey, Sugar, you looking for a date?
That's Mike.
No, I want to find Beverly Hills. Can you give me directions?
Sure. For $5.
Ridiculous.
Price just went up to $10.
You can't charge me for directions.
I can do anything I want to, baby. I ain't lost.
She had exceedingly high self-esteem for a runaway streetwalker, if you right. really think
All
about
right,
it.
All right, okay. All right, you win, I lose. You change for 20?
For 20, I'll show you personal. Even show you where the stars live.
Oh, that's all right. I've already been to Stallone's.
Great. Down the street, make a right. Lights. Lights would be good here.
All right, you get it. So Mike was shifting and shafting all the way down. And by the way, from my house to Beverly Hills was, man, that's a lot of highway. That's highways, that's side streets, that's Sunset, that's Hollywood Boulevard, that's Highland. I mean, he was just fucking going ballistic all over the place. Yeah.
Did it freak you out because it was your car?
I have no thoughts about it.
But I mean, like he didn't mess anything up or, you know, jerk something too hard.
Yeah, probably rode the clutch a little too much, but that was fine. The way home after a couple glasses of wine, he really kicked it up a notch too.
You cared less and he cared more.
Yeah, but I was having a good time in the passenger seat. It's kind of fun to be thrown around a car a little bit, but you have to be wired right. Otherwise, it is you will dig your nails into that dashboard.
Two things, like you say about the Christmas party, or they'll have a party once a year to really clean your shit up, applies to you. Drive, be a passenger in your own car once every 6 months. Clean that shit up right quick. Number two, August was involved. So is this like a corporate gig, or is this just a friend having people over, or how?
It was a little businessy and a little frenzy, and it was probably six or eight good folks. Mostly industry types and a couple of private chefs, man. And they were cooking up an Italian storm, and it was so damn delectable and so nice.
What was the star of the night food wise?
The star of the night for me was fresh made linguine.
Aperol spritz.
With a beautiful red sauce and pork cheek.
There
were chunks, morsels of pork cheeks, kind of high fat, very flavorful, spread amongst the pasta. Very delectable.
Sounds weird, but goddamn delicious, especially in that ragu.
Damn delicious in that ragu. All right. Dawson, I'm told, has a mashup, and I do not know what the origins are, but he does have a mashup.
Well, you are aware that Dr. Drew is a renowned vocalist. Well, he grabbed Jim Carolla and said, man, get your trumpet. We're going in the studio and we're going to recut this bad boy from Ram Jam.
Bamlanivimab. 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 Bamlanivimab.
Oh, Dawson, the best, man. Wow.
Drew is more of a feature on that one, but it works.
Still works.
You got two of the greats laid over one of the best songs ever. And everyone says, what are you doing? Just sitting around smoking weed all night, Dawson, alone in your house. But you know what? It's paying dividends, bro. Yeah.
That's right.
Creating art.
I feel like that was a weed-driven experience right there. When did it hit you, Dawson, that the Bamlanivimab?
Oh, that hit me immediately. I just cracked it open on the studio at 11:45 this morning.
Nice.
Yes, incredibly high.
Yeah, that is awesome. All right, we got a round of Mr. Brightside to play, and we'll play that right after this.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace man, I'm driving down the 5 freeway, heading to the San Fernando Valley, and it's pouring down rain, and I look over, and the sprinklers are spraying down the shrubbery. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, whether it's the governor heading out to dinner with 20 of his closest friends and no social distancing and telling us to stay home, or the man telling us to conserve water and the sprinklers going off while it's pouring outside, gotta be a little more consistent with your messaging. People tend not to listen when you're flying in the face of your own thing. And it's something that's always driven me insane, because when you buy a house and you have to deal with irrigation and water so expensive, the very first thing you do is you get a rain sensor. Just put
I got an alert this morning from my smart rain system or sprinkler system. Like, oh, activating rain, Skip. You had rain 2 days ago.
Yeah. You go down to Home Depot and for $14, you get this device. Not sure why we don't implement it here in SoCal when we're constantly being told we're in a drought zone and the sprinklers are constantly firing off. I mean, the sprinklers are set to go off whenever they're set to go off, but rain or shine, it doesn't seem to matter. But again, when you own a home, then you have an interest in this because you're spending your money. If you're not spending your money, then you're not as motivated.
Well, I don't mean to be I'm cautiously optimistic. I think we are getting very close to a recall. This isn't just one of those, you know, stunt things. I think that we could get those rain sensors sooner than you think.
That'll be a platform item.
Yeah, seriously. Water conservation in a drought? They might as well.
Well, for me, those kinds of things are symbolically huge. It's kind of the Van Halen green M&Ms thing. Like, you show me a city that's got rain sensors, and I'll show you one with probably a little less graffiti and homelessness. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll do Mr. Brightside.
Life got you down? Can't catch a break? Thinking about ending it all? Well, don't. Let Adam turn your frown upside down. It's time for Mr. Brightside.
All right. Let's talk to Christina, line 2, 43, Buffalo, New York. Christina?
Hey there, Adam. How are you? I'm a new listener. This is my first time calling.
Oh, well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I got a situation. Mm-hmm. Love my parents. My dad, hard worker like you. He's a truck mechanic, 45 years of hard work. He just retired, taking the pension. And my parents' lives are ruined by this. They are ruined because now they're both home all day and they're fighting over the TV. My dad watches nothing but Bigfoot shows on like A&E and History or whatever.
Sure.
And they, like your parents, they can't handle change of any kind. Like they have a TV in the bedroom, but that can only be used at night. No one can use that TV during the day. Mm. So like this retirement is ruining their marriage.
Yeah, I miss all the rules, like the mean grandma that Brian had. I had one as well, and her thing was, don't touch my TV guide. I got all my stuff circled.
Highlighted. Yeah, my grandma highlighted the TV guide.
I took the time to find out when Murder, She Wrote was on, even though it's in syndication and it's on 24/7, and things are highlighted and circled and do not muss with the TV guide. So, all right, couple things that could be... help assuage this problem. One is consider yourself lucky. Your dad worked for 45 years interrupted and had something to retire to. Many dads in prison or like the great Yul Gibbons die long before their time choking on a dandelion soup. So your dad's a hard worker. He's retired. That's good. A, you're 43, or B or C, you're not living at home anymore, so you don't have a front row seat to this acrimony, right?
Correct. In fact, I live two states away, and it's still too close.
All right.
There's your bright side right there.
Even added a buffer state, and that's not enough. You can still hear them screaming at each other. Also, what I would do, if in fact your dad is a hardworking dude, and he did take care of you as best he could... And TVs being what they are price-wise, I mean, for $299, you can get yourself a nice 45, 50-inch TV at Target. Get him a subscription to Apple TV or something. Set him up with a TV. He needs his own TV. As long as they're doing battle over the TV, I don't think this thing's ever going to end. But as a daughter, I feel like you could spring for that TV set. You got to spring for a subscription to something, the MLB package or something like that, you know, a couple
something
bucks a month.
Something user-friendly.
Something user-friendly.
See, you guys, we're on the same wavelength. I already did that. I saw this problem coming 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. I spent $99 on an Apple TV. I'd be better off if I took that $99 and shredded it and just let the paper turn into compost. The rules are that's the TV room. They say they have no place else for another TV. Like, they're just so set in their ways. But I like the way you guys think.
Is this the house you grew up in?
No, but they have lived there now for, like, 20 years.
Do they physically not have another room?
Oh, no. They have, like, tons of other rooms. But, again, their rules are... Well, that's the dining room. We wouldn't want a TV in there. They have a living room that they don't use, couldn't possibly put a TV in there. They're just, and they have their Edith and Archie Bunker chairs, so mm-hmm. that's also the reason. It's like, well, my chair's in the TV room. I'm not going to watch TV not in my chair.
I love the airtight logic.
Yeah, there's no way to move a chair, especially room to room. I mean, that's damn near impossible.
Can't be done.
I don't know if you have experienced this on either end. I'm guessing more on the user end, but Christina, I have the same thing with Christie's parents and Sonos, which is I've blessed them with Sonos in both of their houses, and every time we go over, it's like, how does Sonos work again? Jesus
right.
Christ.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Every time I do this, if I want to use the Apple TV, I have to blow the dust off the Apple TV remote because they never use it.
No, you essentially have to get them a tech nurse. Like, you know, they have a, what is that, Geek Squad or something? There now needs to be a new company called Geek Nurse. And a guy shows up with some comfortable shoes. And, you know, he's in his scrubs and he you sit there and go, what do you like? You like O'Reilly? What do you like? You like Bigfoot shows? Like, what do you watch? And then they just go, Sean Hannity or something. You just load it all up. And then he's going to show up every day at 5 o'clock and walk them through that. You know, like Look, what is so different about that and the rehab guy who shows up, you know, after you break your hip? You know what I mean? Guy shows up, you pay a guy, stays there a couple hours, rehabs the hip, you know?
I do think that's what it's going to take. That's about the only thing I haven't tried yet.
Yeah. Tech nerd. Yeah. So
there are companies like that that exist. I'm actually just texting Conway right now because I know he does spots for one. But they're really? New, like, yeah, it's a membership. And, mm-hmm. you know, for whatever month, you call them night or day. And if you just aren't getting it, they'll come over and do it for you. And I'm trying to find out the name right now.
I think it's also it's also important that this is a judgment-free environment. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't need some guy looking over my shoulder while I'm taping all my horrible MMA shows and all my stupid car shows, you know, looking at me like a dullard or less than him because he's watching all the Sunday morning news shows and keeping up to date on what's going on politically.
Yeah. You got to have the right bedside manner because the last thing you want is your smug, bald son-in-law being like, what you do again is, you know what I mean? You got the right bedside manner.
Yeah. And it's not, yeah, I do remember, I think I got my dad. Maybe my mom, maybe my grandma. Like I got him a TiVo back when TiVo was TiVo, and that shit sat in the box for 3 years. And
it's intimidating.
Which would be fine if they shut the fuck up, but they'd always be like, you were on Terry Bradshaw's home team last week, and I didn't get a chance to see it because you didn't tell me. It's like, I then put my name in the stupid TiVo box I got you, and then it'll record all that shit.
The solution is at the bottom of your closet.
Right.
But I think it's a dad thing, and it doesn't matter what decade it is, because I'm having flashbacks right now of whenever the late 80s, when we bought our first home computer for the family, a Tandy. I don't know when they stopped making those. And the whole time we're buying it, my dad's silent and he won't say a word. And my mom's dealing with the guy and we all get in the car and he loads the computer and he hasn't said a word. And I wonder if this traumatized me at all, because I remember it many years later. Silence in the car. All of a sudden, my dad screams something effective. I don't want to hear anything about this fucking computer ever again. And he never touched it. We were never to refer to it.
Yeah.
So I think dads sometimes just don't like new technology.
I was going to say, Gina, do you think that's a little bit of like the dad is the patriarch? He knows everything, comes down with your problems, blah, blah, blah. And then as soon as the technology eclipses dad's acumen, it's like, oh, fuck, I don't know what this thing is. And it's about to run my house. You know, like, it's supposed to be a big part of my life.
And I can't help you. I don't know what I'm looking at. There's an impotence
in the rage.
So nobody is to ever refer to this machinery ever again.
Yeah. And also Christina's dad's a diesel mechanic from way back when, so that's pretty archaic stuff. Like his first job was probably repairing the bus that Lucille Ball took to California.
Pretty much,
New York.
Yeah. They're like three generations behind in technology. Like they just started using the DVR feature on their cable box. Oh. So mm-hmm. I'm up to Apple TV. I'm going to need like three more things to be invented.
Now, what your dad likes watching Bigfoot shows.
He's way into Sasquatch. Bigfoot, ancient aliens, pretty much anything where like the creature being discussed isn't real.
I could kick it with your dad all day.
And maybe send Gina over to make the missus jealous.
I would love to watch TV with your dad. That's
I'm here with the nerd squad. Get out, Harlan.
What's your mom like watching?
My mom had her routine. See, my dad always worked nights, so my mom had the TV to herself for like large chunks of mm-hmm. the day. She has a routine. I haven't lived with her in so long. I don't know what her rules are anymore. I used to know. It was like General Hospital, her soap operas. But she's really big to this show called Outlander, which is based on a book, and it takes place in Scotland in the 1700s. So she wants to fantasize about dating a Scottish Highlander all day, mm-hmm. and my dad wants to be watching Bigfoot.
Yeah, it was... Again, the Mr. Brightside here is that technically they're alive, so you got that working for you.
Technically.
Your dad was a hard-working guy. He provided as best he can. God knows what his cuticles look like after 45 years working on diesel engines. And
he doesn't have fingerprints anymore.
Oh, really? Wow. He literally wore them off.
Sitting around doing nothing. He needs to... He used to get in the heist business.
Yeah, pulling heist. Have him watch Frank. Yeah,
he could,
Robot Frank.
Could be one of the best second story men in the business.
That's right. He's killing time.
Hey, if I'm placing a safe in a valuable business, I put on the first floor. I'm like, there's so many good second story men in this business.
Don't even tempt them.
You don't even hear about the first floor guys because they don't have any. So we're just going to keep this right on the ground. That's
subterranean.
Right.
Parking lot guy.
All right. Well,
if I may, Adam, just give a little plug to friends of the show. Christina, it's a small investment, but consider getting a TCL Roku TV. They're extremely user-friendly, made for older people and beginners. Of course, you know, advanced users can use them too, but they're very user-friendly. So I know you may not want to go in for another TV at this point, but that one's very user-friendly. The app's all right there. We all have one, I think.
Christina, the bright side is you've done already tried. And you're finished dealing with this shit.
Right. And you know, Christina, you probably, these problems are always exacerbated by having the sibling that doesn't seem to be fazed by how miserable your parents are. Do you have that sibling?
Well, I'm an only child, too. Oh. So it's like, another dagger in my heart.
I get it. It's all you. Yeah. The thing about the TV remote and all the technology is, there's a break-in period. There's an acclimation period. And it's about 4 days. Like, you have to use that remote for 4 days. Mm-hmm. Or you can just push it off for 10 years and never use it. But if you can get past that, like, little four-day window of just discomfort. I'm going to learn this remote, you will then – the muscle memory sets in immediately, and you shall be good. Brian, do you have a Mr. Brightside problem
that says on
my screen?
I do. And you know me, Adam. I in the face of devastating, medical news, I always look at the bright side. I don't need a lot of cheering up with this stuff. But I got a pickle, and I don't see the bright side. So this might be a challenge for you, but this is a real story. A couple, I don't know, 4 or 5 days ago, I got a notice from the IRS. Says, oh, we reviewed your 2018 taxes. You underreported your income. You owe another $13,000. It's not a small amount of money. No. We looked into it. We did accidentally underreport our income. We do owe the money. It's not some, they're trying to screw us. I mean, they are, but they're not trying to screw us. What's the bright side here?
Can I give you my bright side? I, too, got an IRS letter about 2018, and I was freaking out until I just heard your number. Now I feel much better. It's not 13,000.
13K and change.
Yeah, well, it buys a lot of rain sensors, so as long as you can imagine all of that $13,000 going into rain sensors.
Yeah, for the good of humanity.
For the good of humanity. And, as we...
That's a thin bright side, man.
Yeah, you're right. You have to be pretty gullible to believe that. Yeah, the thing about taxes is it's... Especially when you live out here in Los Angeles and you don't feel like you're getting any bang for your buck whatsoever. It's kind of tough. It's kind of draining emotionally. I would say this. Let it be a motivating factor. Well, there's a couple things. As I once famously told somebody who was getting divorced and said, I got to pay my wife $50,000 a month. I was like, well, you've arrived. You know what I mean? Because Jim Carolla was flopped out on the sofa of his in-laws when he got divorced with not a pot to piss in. So the sheer fact that you owe the IRS $13,000 means you're fairly successful and productive. I mean, it is an indicator that you're right. Part of society and that you're making at least $13,010 a year. So I
At least.
Yeah, so I do feel like it's much like the alimony, the large alimony paycheck. I do feel like it underscores you as a member of society and a successful member of society. And if you could look back to those times when you were making $8 an hour answering phones, morbidly obese, still bald, driving an S10 pickup truck with a bench seat and no headrest.
It's worse the way you say it.
If you look back those times, it would be your dream one day to own that, to owe the IRS $13,000. You were probably making $11,000 a year.
That's some deep perspective right there.
That's a decent point. I feel so much better about having to write this check now.
Go back to the old Brian. I mean, when you've probably had many sub $13,000 years, even as an adult.
Yes. Sadly, yes.
And I have as well. So now the fact that you owe this means that it is as tough as it may be to cut that check, you've moved up in your station from life.
Right. A different system, caste system.
That's true.
That reminds me of the Chris Rock joke about alimony. Something to the effect of, I mean, if you have $50 million and you have to give your ex half, you'll be fine. But if you have $50,000 and you have to give her half, you might have to kill her.
Chris, speaking of Chris Rock, Chris 50, New Jersey.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I've been listening for years. And hello, Gina. Hello, Brian. Love you guys.
Hi.
My dad passed about earlier this month.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Thank you. Thank you. He was 91, so, you know, he had a full life.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's technically, you're not going to like it, a COVID.
It's a COVID death.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't really assess that. It was other things were happening, and you know, then that was like the cherry on that sundae. So of course our family is adjusting and compensating. My brother hates me. That adds to this. So that was a fun day, the funeral, and my mom, who is still with us, he decides to cheer her up, unbeknownst and then not requested, asks, you know, just gets her a cat as a pet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm severely allergic to cats.
Yeah.
Your brother's a total genius.
It's like a lot of math that I'm doing. That like, wow, okay, I'm now, you know, basically being forced to not be able to be, you know, even socialize with my mother now.
All right, well, let me just stop you right now. First off, you're lucky because your brother's evil. He's doing this to spite you. And you could have been allergic to raccoons. In which case your brother would have bought your mom a raccoon to live in the house, and your mom would be terrorized by that creature. Yeah. So thank God that it's only cats that you're allergic to. Count your lucky stars. Continue.
You're already changing the lens on this. That's helping me see this in a brighter way. I appreciate it. And then my mom, you know, I mean, I've had this, you know, she's like, I never knew. I didn't. How did I was supposed to know? It's like, Mom, this has been 30 years I've had this. So she's in that decline because, of course, you know, she doesn't want to upset my brother, who that's a dynamic there to where, like, you know, it's almost abusive as far as just bullying, you know, and I don't know. Yeah. It's a little hard to get
your brother
it just
bullies
feels like
your...
I've lost both parents in 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
Chris,
older,
you know,
or younger brother, and what is the source of the conflict? What is like, what? Why does he hate you?
Oh, Brian, that's a big question you asked.
What would he say? Like, what would be his thing?
I have not made the choices that he has, and choices that he has made in life have not gone as well for him, and things have, you know, on the surface gone better for me. and, you know, good son, bad son, you know.
He resents you.
I mean, there's the argument for that.
All right, yeah. Chris, I'm gonna wrap this up by saying the cat and the allergic to cats is good because you don't have to enter your mom's home and look at all the old pictures of your dead dad and the urn and that's his cardigan hanging in the hall sweater hanging in the hall closet and all that kind of stuff. This means every time you visit your mom, you simply meet her at a nearby Applebee's. You guys enjoy a meal and you drop her back off at the pad, and you never have to go in and smell all the dander and have the weird knitted blankets that are somehow hung over every chair for some form of comfort and protection. So you get that. And
Applebee's does have amazing onion rings, so I didn't even think of that.
Applebee's has amazing onion rings. So you can meet your mom on neutral territory. You do not have to go into the home. And if the conversation
can't drive.
All right, well, you I'm send sorry, her an
pick
Uber,
her up
you pick her up. Yeah. If the conversation starts to lull and you want to wrap it up, all you have to do is get your eyes watering a little and go, Mom, I think there's a little too much cat dander on you. I'm starting to get backed up here. Could we just go ahead and nip this one in the bud? And by the way, I'll take your onion rings. All right. Shall we bring it? We have an outro.
Feel better? Good. Thank you, Mr. Brightside.
I don't feel like anyone feels better after that. we have maybe Brian a little bit. We have a... Unprepared from Naples, Florida. This one is a longish one. Yes, Max Apana?
Yeah. You make two very good points.
It's probably something you may have heard me say on Loveline 20 years ago, but we revisit it. The title to this one is Pussy Lips.
Ooh.
Do not be allergic.
Pussy Lips, I could do. Is that what someone yelled out? Someone yell at pussy lips? Yeah, okay. It's weird how much range there is in vaginas, you know? They're so different. Everyone I've seen has been a Picasso, you know? Like it's been its own creation. And I feel like we don't have that kind of range in the nutsack. I don't feel like there's that kind of range. Like your nutsack, my nutsack, Brad Pitt's nutsack. No different. I would fucking love to do that. I think if you took Brad Pitt's nutsack and you put it through a hole in some plywood and you just dangled it out, and then you took Guy Fieri's nutsack and you hung it through the same plywood, and then you told some other chick, you took Harvey Weinstein's nutsack and you hung it through, and you took women and you went, you got to pick the nutsack. That guy's going to fuck you, but you have to pick the right nutsack. I think all their heads would explode. Because every single part of Brad Pitt is better looking than me, but in the nutsack department, that's a tie. Dolph Lundgren's nutsack looks just as shitty and out of shape as my nutsack does. Denzel Washington, you could probably pick out. I've got to be honest with you. Let's be honest. There are some nutsacks that are a little more distinctive. But the vaginas, they got a lot of different shapes. I do like how much variation there is in women and their ability to orgasm. I do feel like there's a lot of range here. Like dudes, I've always said this. Like dudes, we're just like a dog. You got your Newfoundland over there. I got my lab. That dog comes running up. You grab him. You start fucking smacking his belly. You start rubbing his rib cage. His legs start shaking. Women, pussy, they don't work that way. You can't treat them like a dog. You got to treat them like a cat. You got to treat them like a cat. Because here's the thing. If you think about it, You try to do that shit to a cat, like, roll over, I'm going to rub your belly real super hard, because that's the way I would want it. See, that's the problem. We transfer. We as men go, I would like to be treated like my fat lab when you're grabbing my dick, so evidently you must enjoy that when I'm rubbing your pussy. Au contraire. We do not enjoy that. You don't want that pussy hiding from you. So what do you have to do? First thing you have to do is pretend like you don't like cats. Look there, there's a cat. Yeah, big whoop. I'm not into cats. You sit around long enough, pussy comes to you. But don't get grabby. Don't do anything too rash. Don't be fast. Just sit there. And eventually, the cat will start working your shin. You know what I mean? Like that. You don't find out what the cat likes. The pussy tells you what it likes, right? So it's like, I like it over here a little bit more. Then you do that move where you're like, all right, I'll put a little shin into you. No hands, just a little bit extra shin. Then the thing starts pushing a little harder. Can't fucking grab it, flip it, and start with the belly rub. It goes on top of the fridge. You have to pretend like you're gay and disgusted by a vagina until the very end. What are we even talking about? Pussy lips. I am telling you, women, if you treat your dude like my 110-pound lab, you will fucking have a good night. And fellas, you treat her like the little Brazilian wax tabby she is. It'll be a nice night.
There you go. Pussy lips.
Insightful. Jarring but accurate.
Jarring but accurate. Well, that's where all the good comedy is. Hey, speaking of good comedy, Maz Jobrani is going to be our guest. He's waiting in the wings. All right. Maz Jobrani is going to be up in a minute. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Maz right after this.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.